So very thankful to the Lord for blessing Brother Philip to preach that wonderful message tonight. So very thankful for the good humble prayer that's gone on before, and such a blessing to be back here at Little Union. Thank the Lord so much for each one of you, and you really thank the Lord for people that he's put into your life. This is the first time I've been here since the passing of Brother Julian, and I thank God that he blessed me to know him these last several years. I thank God for his service to his country, for his service to his family, and most of all, to his service to the Lord. Brother Julian was a brother you could be around, and to folks out in the world, they probably had the question or the thought, whatever he has, I want it. But for those of us in the church, we knew what he had. He had the love of the Lord in his heart. He had the diligent service of the Lord in his heart. And he had the truth of the Lord Jesus in his heart. What a blessing that is. I thank God upon every remembrance of him and of you. And it's such a great blessing to be back here again. We love your pastor very much and very thankful to the Lord for his ministry. If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to turn to the 19th chapter of the book of Psalms. Psalms 19 was penned by David, who was a great king. He was also a shepherd. He knew what it was like to watch over the sheep by night. When Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king over Israel, he had gone through all the sons but David. And the Lord had told Samuel, none of these are him. He said, you not got any more sons? They said, well, there's one more. But he's keeping the sheep. David had a lot of time as he looked upon the sheep and kept the sheep and watched over the sheep. He had a lot of time to look at the glory of the Lord's creation. In the silent hours of the night, to look up at the stars in the sky. And in the daylight hours, to look at the majestic brilliance of the sun. He begins by saying, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. We were recently blessed to drive out west, and we saw some of the beauties of the Lord's creation. One of the things we saw was the Grand Canyon. And I'll confess, I was a little concerned because one of the guys in our office had gone to take his children to see the Grand Canyon, and they drove like we did, and they had driven this very, very long distance. And they get all the way to the Grand Canyon, and his children, who some of them were teenagers, some of them were a little bit younger, said, Dad, is this it? Did we drive all the way for this? And I was a little fearful. I didn't want that to be my response. But I'll tell you, when I got out there and I saw the expansiveness of the Grand Canyon, and I saw the beauty and the majesty of the handiwork of God, I thought, how in the world could anybody say what they say? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And he basically said, whether you're looking in the day or you're looking in the night, it declares the glory of God. And it speaks in any language. We saw some beautiful sunsets as we traveled out west. One of the places we went was Yosemite. And as the sun was setting in Yosemite, what a beautiful sight it was. I may be aging myself, but I used to like to watch Yogi Bear and Boo Boo, one of the cartoons. That was in Yosemite, and you can remember seeing the unusual shape of those trees on that cartoon, and that's what the trees in Yosemite are. We would see the beautiful sunsets in Yosemite. But you know, as we drove back home and we started getting close to the Mississippi River, we were gone about 2 weeks, and I began to yearn for home. As we approached that Mississippi River, I was yearning more and more for home. We were still in Louisiana, and we looked back and saw a beautiful sunset. You know that sunset in Yosemite where you look at the shadow on the trees, it looked a little different, but if you look above that, the same sunset in Yosemite was the same sunset we saw in Louisiana. The same sunset you'll see here. And it speaks in every language. Doesn't matter if you speak English or Spanish or French or any other language. It testifies. It declares the glory of God. You look up at the night sky and you see those innumerable stars that shine, and they declare, they testify to the glory of God. You know, I've been interested at how the Lord's physical creation is real similar to his spiritual creation. If you look in the beginning of Genesis, it said, in the beginning, God. What made the difference in creation? Who's the creator? God. Who's the creator in the spiritual creation? God. You see, man couldn't take any credit for the Lord's physical creation. Why? He weren't here. He weren't here. So he couldn't take any credit for it. And I'll tell you, when it comes to the Lord's spiritual creation, man can't take any credit for that either, because when the Lord spiritually created us and gave us life, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Brother Philip has alluded to that to us tonight. When the Lord came to us and said, live, and when he spoke with that life-giving voice that was mentioned in John chapter 5, we were dead in trespasses and sin, and we can't take any credit for the spiritual creation the Lord blessed us to have. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the Creator God, he gets all the honor and he gets all the glory for that. Just like he gets all the glory for the physical creation. Genesis 1 again begins by saying, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, what's that sound like? Doesn't sound like a very much of a place you want to be. Darkness was on the face of the deep. It was void. It was empty. Kind of sounds like a dead alien sinner, doesn't it? What made the difference? Said, and the Spirit of God moved across the face of the waters. What made the difference? The Holy Spirit of God made the difference. What would the Lord Jesus tell unto John in John chapter 3? He would say the wind. It's the same word, pneuma, rendered spirit in so many places. The wind, the spirit bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. What made the difference in the new birth? The Holy Spirit of God, by the direct operation of that Spirit, borned us again. What made the difference? The Spirit of God moved across the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Light streamed across this universe. When God Almighty said, let there be life to us as dead alien sinners, when he said, live, we lived. He deserves all the honor, and he deserves all the glory. And as the physical creation declares the glory of God, so should his spiritual creation. We have a responsibility to declare the glory of God every single day that we live. How does the sun declare the glory of God? By shining. How does the stars declare the glory of God at night? By shining. Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus would tell his disciples, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He's saying, declare the glory of God by letting your light shine. You know, the Lord's put a light within us. When he borned us again, he put a light inside of every one of us. So why does he say, let it shine? The new birth light is never going to go out. It's kept by the power of God. So why does he say, let it shine? It's because that light can be blocked. I could have a big, bright flashlight up here at the pulpit, and it could still be on. But if I press it against the pulpit, I can block the light, and the light's still on, but nobody's going to see it. You know what can block the light of regeneration the Lord's put within us? The flesh. We've got to break that flesh. We've got to get that flesh out of the way so that our light can shine. So that my life's not about Mark Quarles or about anybody else, but it's about the Lord. He said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We have a responsibility as the spiritual creation of God to declare the glory of God, to let our light shine every day to his honor, to his glory, to his praise. You know, when thinking of the stars at night declaring the glory, it says day unto day uttereth speech. That word uttereth literally means to gush forth. It says night unto night showeth knowledge. That Hebrew word for knowledge literally has the connotation of living, to manifest life, and it means to abundantly show. So we see our responsibility as the spiritual creation of God. You know, when the Lord asked Abraham to do that very, very hard task, to offer up his son, his only son, from the mount that he would show him of. And Abraham was obedient to that command. And the Lord provided that sacrifice, the ram that was caught in the thicket. Right after that, we see an angel of the Lord that called unto Abram out of heaven. He tells him this in verse 17 that of Genesis 22, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And we see one of those sweet comparisons that's given many times in the Word of God. And that is that the seed of Abraham, which is ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said, not to seeds as of many, but to seed as of one, and of thy seed, which is Christ. So he's saying that all the promises that were made to Abraham's seed were really made to Christ and all those that are in Christ. Who's all in Christ? How are they compared so many times in the scriptures? As the stars in the heavens. What did God tell Abraham to do? He said, tell the stars. That word tell literally means to count. Now, when I go to the bank, I don't have the teller at the bank, which is literally a counter of money. They don't just hand me a stack of money and say, hey, I think that's about $100. There you go. They don't do that, do they? What do? One, two, three. For some of y'all else, it may be 20, 50, or 100. Mine's one, two, three. When you count something, you count it individually. God gave Abraham a task he couldn't do. He couldn't count all the stars. But I'll tell you, as he was doing what God told him to do, he was looking at each individual star. One, two, three. You know, our Lord loves us individually. See, he told Abraham to count the stars, which Abraham, because the stars are innumerable, Abraham wasn't able to do it. But you know, the Bible also said God counted the stars. He tells the stars, and he is able to do it. Let's look in Psalms chapter 147. The Lord is able. It says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You get here the feeling of the scene of a worship service. Hear the Lord in love and in sweetness and in compassion. He's healing the broken in heart. He's binding up their wounds. He's building up Jerusalem. And it says, he telleth, he counteth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names. I began talking tonight about David being a shepherd. He's the shepherd king. And he's a great picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd king. John chapter 10, where it's talking about our shepherd, He says in John 10, he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. The Lord loves us individually. He calls us by name. The very hairs of our head are all numbered. I think it was Brother Philip I heard recently say, that means he not only knows how many hairs are on your head right now, he knows the number of the one that just fell out, or maybe two or three or four that fell out. He knows us intricately, and he calls us by name. What a blessing that the Lord of glory cares that much about each individual star. I tried to preach a little bit from the book of Esther the other day recently. You know, in the book of Esther, I believe Esther to be a great picture of us as little children of God. You know what her name means? Esther means star. Her Hebrew name is Hadassah, which to me is a beautiful name. It literally means myrtle tree. You know what the bloom of a myrtle tree is? It's a star. So we see this great emblem in Scripture that as we look up at the heavens at night, we can be reminded that God looks and is able to count. It's innumerable to us. It's too many for us to count, but not for God to count. He knows everyone. He can count the stars. He can tell the stars, and he calls them out by name. And I'll tell you, God knows every one of his little children, and he calls us out by name. He's the good shepherd that calls us by name and leads us. He never leaves us alone, as Brother Philip preached unto us, but he leads us out. He goes before us, and he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Says their line is gone out. That literally means a measuring line. This creation of God, this declaration of the glory of God, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. You know where we need to declare the glory of God? Wherever we are, wherever we go, we should declare the glory of God. Wherever we go, the stars ought to shine. Wherever we go, we should let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify us. No, glorify our Father, which is in heaven. It says, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Tabernacle's a tent. Usually something in a tent because it's on the move. Brother Philip mentioned all the intricacies of the Lord's instructions for the tabernacle. The tabernacle didn't stay in the same place. It was on the move. The children of Israel were supposed to look at that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. And when that pillar moved, they were to move. The Lord was leading them, and they were to go where the Lord went. And every time that happened, the tabernacle would get packed up in the way God told them to do it, and it would move. So there's a tabernacle for the sun. Now, the sun in the Bible is oftentimes a sweet picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The end of the book of Malachi, the word sun is mentioned in a very interesting way. And it's mentioned at a time when, right after some of these words are said, there was going to be a prophetic silence for about 400 years. For 400 years after this chapter, I'm going to read from, there was going to be silence from the prophets. From the end of Malachi to the very first chapter in the book of Matthew, there was going to be silence. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness." That word son is S-U-N, but it's capitalized. And it's saying son, S-U-N, because the S-U-N is a strong picture of the greater son, the S-O-N. It says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked. They shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." He said, the Son of Righteousness is going to arise, and he's got healing in his wings. And I'll tell you, some 400 years later, as that curtain has been closed for 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, and everybody's sitting there out in the audience waiting on the curtains to open, and there's silence. Then all of a sudden, the curtains of the New Testament open, and there's John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, pointing and saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Son of Righteousness has risen." He's got healing in his wings. This was so ably preached unto us. This Son of Righteousness comes to us in his church even today. He still has healing in his wings even today. It's a little harder for me to come to church on a weeknight after I've been working. And my sweet, sweet beloved wife was driving us, and I worked most of the day on the computer, on the phone. And it takes a little while to get away from the things of the world just to thaw out. The world freezes us. But I'll tell you, the Son of Righteousness can arise, and in short order. We see him in his house. It doesn't take long for the Son of Righteousness to arise with healing in his wings, and the cares of the earth flee away, and the aches and the pains and the scars of this whole world get healed real fast. He said, "You'll grow up like calves of the stall." The calf that's in the stall, that's the fatted calf. That's the calf that when the prodigal son had come home from the pig pen and his daddy was so glad to see him and fell on his neck and kissed him, he said, "Bring hither the fatted calf." That's the calf that's been fed. It's the calf that's been taken care of in a special way. Does the Lord not feed us? Does he not take care of us in such a special and wondrous and glorious way? Said, "In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun." And that sun's beauty, wherever it is in the sky, it's on the move. It's on the move. The sun rises from our standpoint and the sun sets. And there's a tabernacle for the sun. And wherever that sun is, it's beautiful and it's glorious. It doesn't matter if I'm with the saints of God there in California. The Son of Righteousness arose with healing in his wings. He's able to, here at Little Union, the Son of Righteousness, when I've been here before and even tonight, we heard the faithful prayer and the singing and the brother preaching. The Son of Righteousness arose. Wherever we are in the service of God, that tabernacle, the Son's on the move. Aren't you thankful the Lord's everywhere present, nowhere absent? He can be with us wherever we are in our life, wherever we are in the worship service of God. He said, "Which is as a bridegroom." Already seen the great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son, the brilliant Son, the glorious Son, the brightness of the resurrected Christ's glory. Paul would say in Acts 26, I believe it is, when he was recounting that event,
on the road to Damascus, he said, I saw a light from heaven, and it was brighter than the noonday sun. That's brilliant. Sometimes I go out of the federal courthouse where I work, and there's white concrete all around. And that sun is so incredibly bright that a lot of times I just can't keep my eyes open when I come out. That's the brilliance of the glory of our Lord. Then he uses the analogy of the bridegroom, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Brother Philip looked a little bit tonight at the sweet picture of the Lord as our husband, our bridegroom, and the church as his bride. He said, this son is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. How many times have we had a difficult night, maybe a mournful night, where it seems like the darkness and the shadows would never flee away? The Bible said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And it's a brand new day when we see that sun rise up. He said, he paints the picture here. It's as a bridegroom coming forth of his chamber. That our Lord Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, the one who loves us so much, he's come forth out of his chamber. We can sing. There he is. I want us to look in the same, it's not the same verses where Brother Philip was in Song of Solomon 4, but it's the same chapter. Here's the bridegroom talking to the bride. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. That word ravish literally means to be transported by love. It literally means to be carried away by love. And here's the bridegroom, our husband, the Lord Jesus, who sees his bride and says, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. When he first saw us, we were polluted in our own blood. We were a filthy, ugly thing. But when he got through with us, Ephesians 5, in that great chapter on husbands loving their wives, other things in it too, said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. The great picture of the Lord as our husband, we as his bride. The great picture of the Lord as our bridegroom, and we as the bride. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. He made us holy. He made us without blemish. We were in a field polluted with blood, but he made us by his own precious blood, made us holy and without blemish and beautiful. So now when he sees us, we've ravished his heart. You know, it's been a blessing for me. Some ministers really don't like weddings. I do. I do like weddings. And we had a few weddings with individuals that I try to pastor at Providence. And last year we had a young brother that I've known him all his life. I still remember the time when I first went to Providence. He was just a tiny little fella. And he sat up in my lap at his granddaddy's house, one of our deacon's house, and he sat in my lap and said, "Brother Mark, you're my best friend." That's how long I've known him. I was blessed to be able to officiate at their wedding. And I'm standing up here, Brother Ruffin's to my right. His bride comes out. He was ravished with her love. His knees started to buckle. And I thought I was going to have to say, "Stay with me, brother. Don't go anywhere. Stay up." But I was looking here from the side angle. That was a beautiful look he had on his face. But I was seeing it from this angle, not from the perspective of the bride. But you know, several months after that, I was walking my daughter down the aisle. There was Brother John Anthony Crawford up at the front, the groom. So I could see his face from the same vantage point of my daughter, the bride. He was ravished with her love. And I was reminded, though unworthy as we are, though guilty and undone as we are, he is ravished by us. And the great love wherewith he has for us carries him away. You know, while I was standing by Brother Ruffin, though, I was able to see a vantage point. When I was walking Sister Anna Lee, my daughter, down the aisle, I could kind of see the look on her face from the side. But when Brother Ruffin's bride, Sister Eliza, was walking down the aisle, I could see what Brother Ruffin saw in the face of the bride. The Lord has looked at us and he's ravished with our love. When I saw Sister Eliza's face, she was ravished with Brother Ruffin's love. She was ravished with the groom's love. And that's the way we ought to come to the house of God. Ravished with the love of our bridegroom. So ready to see him. He's like a bridegroom that's come out of his chamber. I'll tell you, he came so far. He left the very realm of heaven and a mode of glory to come down to this low ground of sin and sorrow. He was a bridegroom. He came out of his chamber to be with the bride. When we see him, we should be ready for him. It took Sister Anna Lee a while to get ready on her wedding day. The hair had to be just right. The dress had to be just right. Every time she made a turn, one of the bridesmaids was readjusting the back end of the dress, and I'm like, whoa. And I had to ask myself a question. Do I try to get that ready to see my bridegroom, the house of God? He's promised to be with us, already been preached to us. He says, "Where two or three to gather together in my name," he said, "there am I in the midst of them." The bridegroom's come out of his chamber to be with us. The book of Revelation, John turns around, and what does he see? He sees the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He sees the glorified bridegroom. And where is he? He's in the midst of the churches. We see him later in the book of Revelation walking in the midst of the churches. The bridegroom's come out of his chamber. Am I ready to see him? He's ravished with my love. I would to God I'm ravished every time with his love. He loves us individually. He's counted the stars. He's called us by name. He's come out of his chamber to meet with us and to be with us and to adore us and to be ravished by us. What a wondrous Lord we serve. May we declare the glory of God. May God richly bless you, my brother.